Just want to read a very short verse of scripture in Hebrews, in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let us also, therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But consider well him who endured so great contradiction from sinners against himself, that ye be not weary, fainting in your minds. That's all I'm going to read. May refer to other scriptures later. But what I want to talk about is the matter of endurance. And I'm sure we all have some understanding, however small, as to what endurance means. You might say, we've all of us endured since March of last year the restrictions that have been imposed upon us. We've endured those, and now we have another week to endure, and we all hope that the restrictions will be finally lifted next Monday week. But what if they're not? Are we going to faint? Are we going to give up? Will our prayers have been for nothing? What can you say as to this matter of endurance? Think of the Lord Jesus himself. He speaks of where we've read. But consider well him who endured so great contradiction from sinners against himself. Think of the Lord Jesus enduring, and then you think of what we've been asked to endure. Nothing very much, is it really, when you consider what God has endured? But we believe possibly that this book, the Hebrews, was written by the Apostle Paul. We don't know for certainty, but we're fairly certain, we're fairly sure that it was written by Paul. And he was somebody that endured. He endured a great deal for the sake of the testimony. And he was very familiar with this thought of endurance. Because he brings in the fact that it's connected with the race. Now, I know today a lot of sporting events take place around the country, and those competing in them have to endure. They may have to endure defeat, and yet they have to endure. And Paul was familiar with the games, something that marked Roman life a great deal was the games. And he says elsewhere that those that contend have to contend lawfully, because otherwise there will be no crown, no laurel for the winner if they cheat. So this matter of endurance is important for believers, because it's not a sprint. It's not something that's over in a matter of a minute or three. The race is for the whole of your life. From the time you've committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, this race is on. But as I said, it's not a sprint. Where I live today, they've been running a half marathon, and I know that they hold every year. I don't know whether they did it last year, probably not. They hold the London Marathon. That's not a half marathon, that's a full marathon. 26.1 miles. The first marathon was run 490 BC by a soldier by the name of Pheidippides. And he ran from the battlefield at Marathon to Athens to give news of the victory. And he got there, that 25 miles it was. He just had breath for one word, Nike. And he keeled over and died. He wasn't able to endure that distance that he had to run. Now, dear fellow believer, are you going to endure? Are you going to be found here even in times of testing? And we don't know what times of testing we may yet have to face. But endurance is made perfect in temptation, and it's made perfect in these trials that we have to face. You say, well, I don't understand that, but the scripture says it. And I can't fully explain to you why that is, but if you endure the trials and the temptations, you can look forward to a heavenly hope. Now, reference was made to God's glory in the reading this afternoon, which I thought was very interesting. God has a glory that is beyond the sphere and understanding of man. And we have come short of that glory. Well short. Why is that? Well, it's because of the sin that I read of, which so easily entangles us. Think of something like sin that prevents us from the full enjoyment of God's blessings. Think of the weight that the apostle speaks of here. Laying aside every weight. You don't want to burden yourself if you're on this race. And we can burden ourselves with many things that God perhaps never intended that we should be burdened by. And yet we take them on because perhaps we can't help ourselves. But you know, God is able to give grace. Grace for the journey. Faith now to live. And so, it says, looking steadfastly on Jesus. Endurance and steadfastness are kind of similar thought. If you're steadfast, nothing can shake you from the path or the goal that you've set yourself. And we're exhorted to look steadfastly on Jesus, who is the leader and completer of faith. How wonderful to think that we're not just racing on without any guidance or any help, but you know, Jesus has gone before. He's trodden that path that you are on. He's been through every test that you are going to face, but sin apart, because the Lord Jesus was perfect in every way possible. And yet, he is able to sympathise with our infirmities. The scripture says that. Think of the Lord Jesus sympathising with our infirmities. And yet, in his grace, he does just that. But I'm very impressed with the fact that as we endure We are looking steadfastly on the one who has gone before. He hasn't got his back to you. Although he's gone on ahead, he doesn't have his back to you. He's looking at you so that you might look at him. That's the encouragement, isn't it? To think of the one who is looking at you. You think of a situation where everyone has their back to you. You feel alone. You feel really alone. And yet you may be in a crowd of people, and yet they've all got their backs to you. But we're not in a situation like that. The Lord Jesus is for us. That's what the scripture says. If he is for us, who can be against us? That's the wonder of the glad tidings. Put your faith and your trust in the one who has gone before. The one who has endured the contradiction of sinners. How wonderful it is that I can stand behind this desk and speak to you with the assurance of faith. I'm talking about one who knows every situation that it's possible for man to go through. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know the burdens of your heart. But I know that the Lord Jesus has been there first. It says he was tempted in all things, sin apart. What a wonderful saviour he is. It says he endured the cross. Imagine that. Enduring the cross. Yes, you say, I know the Lord went to the cross. He was nailed to that cross by the hands of wicked men. And he endured. He endured that. When they put someone on a cross, the cross was on the ground. And they were nailed to it on the ground. Nailed through the hand, the two hands, and the feet. And then the cross was hoisted up, dropped into a hole. Think of the endurance that the Lord Jesus endured being nailed to that cross. It says, lifted up was he to die. And the Lord Jesus endured the roughest treatment from the hands of man. Endured it. So that you might know what it is to have peace in your heart and in your soul. Not only peace, but joy in believing. How wonderful to know someone who can impart peace and joy and understanding when you're going through times of trouble. It's good to know that there's someone who understands. Someone who can draw near. Someone who can take your hand. Someone who loves you. The Lord Jesus loves you like no one else. The world speaks about love, speaks about joy, it speaks about peace. But you know, none of those things that we speak about from a natural viewpoint really bear any resemblance to what the Lord Jesus is able to impart. He speaks about my peace I give to you. My peace. A peace that passeth all understanding. And then he speaks about the joy that he has. Joy from knowing that he has completed God's holy will. You know, the joy that Christ has can be yours. It's beyond description, really. But these things are available to each one if we just but ask. And it's as simple as asking. It doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. It just means cry out. cry out, and the Lord will hear. Just like the younger son. As soon as his face was turned back home, says, the father saw him. Was moved with compassion. Covered him with kisses. That distance, however long it was, however far, covered in an instant. That's the greatness of God's love as seen in Christ. Well, I think I've nearly finished. We're exhorted that ye be not weary, fainting in your minds. So let our minds be renewed by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that every believer is given. Are you aware of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Again, if you're not, just ask. It really is a gift that you cannot compare with anything else. Because it will protect you as you travel through this world. The gift of the Holy Spirit will protect you. The gift of the Holy Spirit will make sure that you don't get into situations that would be dangerous. Get into situations where perhaps you inadvertently sin. It will protect you from all kinds of worldliness that perhaps would mitigate against the joy that the Lord Jesus would delight to impart to you. So that's my message, I think, that we should endure in these times of conflict. As I said at the beginning, we cannot afford to faint in these difficult situations that we're in, because we don't know whether these restrictions are going to be lifted. We have no idea. They're promised that they will be. But you know, man, being such as he is, so fickle. And Satan, of course, as we know, is the prince and the power of this world. And so it behoves us to keep near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep near to the one who has suffered and borne your sin and mine. The one who is the all the way home Saviour. That's what he is. All the way home. So I just desire that each one may be encouraged to continue on this pathway, that we may endure and that we may come into the joy and the blessing of the Saviour's face. As I said earlier on, he is the one who shines upon you. Whether your back is to him or whether your face is to him, he's shining upon you. Just make sure that you're looking at him when he's shining upon you. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.